I want to start with a couple of readings this morning. One comes from 1 John. I'm going to be reading from chapter 4, verse 16, and then continuing with 18 through 21, and I'm reading from the Inclusive Bible. Hear now these words. We have come to know and to believe in the love God has for us. God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God and God in them. There is no fear in love, for perfect love drives out fear. To fear is to expect punishment. And anyone who is afraid is still imperfect in love. We love because God first loved us. If you say you love God, but you hate your sister or brother, you are a liar. For you cannot love God whom you have not seen if you hate your neighbor whom you have seen. If we love God, we should love our sisters and our brothers as well. We have this commandment from God. May we add blessing and meaning to the reading of these words. Then I want to read something from world-renowned Buddhist teacher Sharon Salzberg. This is from her book called Loving Kindness, The Revolutionary Art of Happiness. In it, it says this. Sometimes we think that to develop an open heart, to be truly loving and compassionate, means that we need to be passive, to allow others to abuse us, to smile and let anyone do what they want with us. Yet this is not what is meant by compassion. Quite the contrary. Compassion is not at all weak. It is the strength that arises out of seeing the true nature of suffering in the world. Compassion allows us to bear witness to that suffering, whether it is in ourselves or in others, without fear. It allows us to name injustice without hesitation, and to act strongly with all the skill at our disposal. To develop this state of compassion is to learn to live, as the Buddha put it, with sympathy for all living beings without exception.
This song is by Michael Donner.
Thank you. Listen to it nonstop because I love what it was saying so much. So thank you for sharing that. My message this morning is entitled, This, I Believe, a Progressive Minister's Statement of Faith. It seems like every year the bastardization of Christianity that is birthed by the unholy wedding of churchianity and conservative politics becomes more and more extreme and less like the man whose title is the namesake of the movement. Now, I might pause here and say, churchianity is the name that I use to describe the mutated version of Christianity that too many folks practice. It worships the church, its dogma, and its leader, and it values conformity, control, and power, even as it looks down on the diversity, equality, compassion, and humility that Jesus taught us about. Every year, their efforts full-heartedly, in my opinion, attempt to rob the unfathomably epic expansiveness of God and replace it with an ever-increasingly myopic God, misguidedly trying to put God in a box so that they can use God as a prop, as a tool, as a weapon. See, back in the 70s, a small group of conservative strategists decided to weaponize Christianity in the U.S., in U.S. politics in particular, in a way that it had never been done before. And they began to promote an understanding of God that simply is not in the Bible. Their need for doing this was conformity, control, and power. Everything that Jesus confronted. They twisted and bit and broke the love of God in order to support their self-centered and self-aggrandized feelings of self-importance. And it did not matter who they had to sacrifice to get there. In some cases, they were even glad to do so. That's how we got on the dismal and destructive road that we are on as a nation when it comes to Christianity. It's gone so far that it's turned into a you're either with us or you are against us mentality. There's a mentality that we see so frequently with Christian nationalism. As you know, that, my friends, is a far cry from Jesus' teachings that we are to love all people, even our enemies. It is a far cry from our sacred text that tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another, to not be haughty. It is a bastardization of everything Christianity is supposed to stand for. It's become a faith that's afraid to ask questions, to the point that it attacks those who do ask questions. To be a member of that group, you must toe the line, follow blindly, and basically worship its leaders. Churchianity, my friends, is a dangerous problem.
seems to me that we in America have a belief problem. As the churchianity of the United States continues to strengthen, it intentionally skews the belief system away from loving kindness in favor of an elitist exceptionalism that is designed to support the idea that some people are more deserving of God's love than others. That some people are more chosen than others. That some people are rightly more blessed than others. A while back, given the nightmarish landscape that inevitably coincides with the spirituality that gives some people control over God and value some people more than others, well, I decided that once a year, I would take a fresh look at what I believe and share it with you. And that's what I'm going to do today. Some years it changes more than others, but most years it changes at least a little. So today I would like to share with you my statement of faith, and after the service, if you're interested, it's also printed on a handout on the back table. This I believe. I believe that frequently the questions are more helpful in spiritual growth than the answers. I believe that the fullest expression of God comes in how we live and experience life and in how we treat others, particularly the marginalized and suffering. I believe that God is known by many names. No religion has exclusive rights for naming God. Our human limitations, they prevent us from knowing the fullness of God. We can, however, see the result of humanity expressing God. It looks like love, peace, hope, forgiveness, grace, inclusiveness, justice, equality. God is not a name, it is a label. It is a label that points to that which we do not and cannot fully understand. God surrounds us, is in us, is in all others, and connects us all. Something of God is in all things and is all things. I believe that the teachings and life of Jesus show us how to express God, in our lives. And for me, the teachings of Jesus are the most instructive way of how to go about expressing God. Other spiritual teachers have also taught about this thing that we call God. It is beneficial to be instructed by them as well. In Jesus, we see what a life lived expressing God looks like. And a key part of expressing the love of God is confronting the abuses of power and dismantling the systems that allow and encourage it. Doing that, cost Jesus his life and showed us how far love will go for justice. It also showed us how far the powers that be will go to stop. I believe that we experience the movement of God on a daily basis throughout creation. Some people call that movement the Holy Spirit. It is given to doing its own thing and should not be taken lightly. I believe that belief,
alone is not enough. Belief alone is not enough. Belief is meaningless without action. Belief without action points to a lack of devotion to the belief. How that action benefits all of creation is the surest indication of its validity and its value. I don't think that your theological outlook should be constantly changing. If it's not, you're not taking it seriously enough. Creeds and dogma betray this reality when they're taken at face value. Belief should be informed by sacred texts, spiritual guides, and life's experience. And that life experience includes science and art and nature and relationships. I believe that God is love. If something isn't loving, doesn't come from a loving place, doesn't promote love, it isn't from God. I believe that all statements of faith should be continuous works in process. This I believe. Thank you.
palaces dressed in gold leaf hide the damages, spot the geisha as she balances, lights the cakewalk for challenges. Go to Russia, see the Red Square, Lenin's body lying dead there. From Kyoto, Hiroshima, watch the black cloud rise nearer. There were riots in America just when things were getting better. All the things I've done and seen, still I don't know what life means. All the people living in the world today, we're united by our love, we're united by our pain. Ooh, all the things that I've done and I've seen.
Troubles of our own lives, that we forget we are called to be transformers for justice in this world. There's so much pain, so much loneliness, so much sickness, so much loss, so much injustice in this world that it can sometimes seem like
just the way things are. Let us never forget that creation contains the possibility of heaven on earth, a fellowship of humanity. Let us never forget that the teachings of Jesus, as well as the teachings of so many other great spiritual leaders, can lead us to a world where suffering is greatly reduced. And until that time, may we learn not only to confront injustices, but to comfort those who suffer, and to be open to receiving comfort when we are the ones suffering. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other in creation, recognizing that we are one, and may you know love and happiness throughout your life, and may your words and your actions share that love and that happiness with all of those you meet.
We come broken, we come undone, we come trying hard to love everyone, but we come up short in all that we do, because we do, we come to you. You came to show the way, not around but through, so through it all, we come to you.